Hello, hello, hello.
Man, we really need a new intro.
We're working on it. Maybe next week. Maybe next week we'll have a new intro. That works for now. Welcome into Section 119 Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about the Aggie sports that are going on. This is the Aggie sports section. We typically do 2 to 3 to sometimes 4 podcasts per week with each sport that is in season. However, we combine all the Aggie sports into one that will come to you year-round. So we got all kinds of good stuff for you today, talking all things Aggie sports. So let me just introduce myself. I'm Jaden Johnson.
I'm Daniel Hansen.
And I'm Trevor Porath. And today here we'll be talking about some Aggie basketball, football, women's soccer. But right now, for next few minutes, we'll be talking about some volleyball. So one question I got, how do we lose to UNLV after going up 2-1?
Yeah, do we have to talk about that?
Yeah, well, I know all three of us were there at that volleyball match. There was actually a really good crowd there, man. Those people show up for those volleyball games.
Yeah, it was like, what, 1,300, I think, at this one?
Yeah, yep, really close to that. If you've never been to an Aggie volleyball game, seriously, like, it's worth going to. So I guess just to recap things for anybody who's not familiar with what's going on there, the Aggie volleyball team is doing pretty good this year after, I mean, they didn't have hardly any expectations. They were picked to finish, I think, 9th or 10th in the conference, but they've really done pretty well. And then last week they had UNLV up here, who is, they're nationally ranked within, I think they're number 17 in RPI in the country for volleyball. I mean, they're a very good team.
They're second in the conference standings right now. They're really
They were
good.
15-2 when they came here. And
yeah, their two losses are against ranked BYU. Ranked BYU, and the other losses to Colorado State, the Mountain West leader right now. So
I think Colorado State's ranked too, I think, aren't they?
Yeah, no. They're receiving votes. They're up there, but they probably will be. UNLV probably will be. So anyway, the Aggies had them on the ropes. We were up 2-1, and in volleyball, of course, it's a best of 5 kind of thing. So we're up 2-1 and really looking really good. And then I don't know if it was – I mean, it wasn't really much of a collapse because they were still really close in there in the 4th and 5th sets, but
I think UNLV
got away from
just
them.
Kind of woke
UNLV
up.
Kicked it into gear for sure.
Yeah.
But you know what, man? This is a really fun volleyball team to watch. I cover them in the Statesman, so you can see my recap from that match up on the Statesman website right now. But I've gotten to know a lot of the players and gotten to know the coach, and it's a really cool team to watch. And I think that they still got some good volleyball left in them. The Mountain West is really stupid with how they have volleyball, and I don't know if it's just the Mountain West or if it's college athletics in general, but. There's no conference tournament, so to win the conference, you just have to win the most matches. And so Utah State's probably out of contention for that right now. They might have
been out before that game even.
Yeah, I mean, it's likely.
They're 8-13 on the season, so I mean, it's not like they're terrific. It goes by conference record, but I think like on the year total, they're 8-13. Conference, I'm not sure what it is. It's like something like
they're 2-4.
2-4, yeah, something like that. And that doesn't sound terrific, but like you compare this team to last year, I mean, they're miles ahead of it. So, I mean,
enormously.
At the very least, I mean, it's a really good direction for Utah State to be heading in volleyball, where you have them improving. You have 1,300 people show up for what probably is the game of the year in the conference, for at least for us, having UNLV come here. I mean, Colorado State's going to be another big one, too. And also, we got San Diego State this week. But, I mean, overall, it's just a terrific direction for volleyball to be heading, where they're at least competitive.
Oh, no doubt. And the Mountain West is a very good volleyball conference. There's some very good teams in there.
You look at the Mountain West for, like, football, and you think, yeah, mediocre conference. Olympic sports, though, Mountain West has actually got a decent crew throughout the conference in a lot of sports. Volleyball, women's soccer, which we're going to be talking about here in a second, is also pretty decent.
You know, I stand corrected. The volleyball team is 3-5. I forgot the earlier match in the week that they played. So with that win or with that loss, that they are 3-5 now in the conference.
That's better than they did last year.
Yeah, still better.
Last year they had 2 conference wins the entire conference season. Yeah,
and we're about like halfway through here, I think.
Not even quite that. So, I mean, I think that they still finish in the upper half, and they still do pretty well coming down the stretch. But as Daniel was saying, they've got a huge one this Thursday. They've got San Diego State, who right now is third in the conference. So that's a big match. San Diego State's beat some really good teams. They're on the edge of the top 25 right now. I believe they're receiving votes. So if you can make it out to that and support the team, that's going to be enormous. They really feed off of the home crowd. So
if you can't make it, you can also you can stream it on off the app Mountain West Network or on mountainwestnetwork.com. Yours truly, Trevor, will be I will be calling both those games this week, Thursday and Saturday. So
you can hear Trevor's beautiful voice again. But yeah, so that's Thursday at 7 at the Wayne Estes Center, like always. And then Saturday they've got another one versus Nevada. San Diego State, just a little bit of background. We played them a few weeks ago at San Diego State, got up 2-1, and again lost that one somehow. So I think we got a real good shot at it.
Yeah, especially at home. But there's a couple other teams we also want to get talking to a little bit. Last week we talked quite a bit about women's soccer as well. I mean, they were doing amazing in the conference. This week was not exactly the best week for women's soccer, as I recall.
They kind of had a meltdown.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have the scores pulled up in front of me. I think you guys might know a little bit more. But
yeah, so I've got it up. So they were Utah State. They were number one in the Mountain West, and we talked a lot about that last week and how cool of an accomplishment that is for a team that was picked to finish so low. They went on the road, and they lost at New Mexico 2-0 and at San Diego State 2-1. Really kind of disappointing. The San Diego State one, I know it was like an 87th-minute goal or something like that that put SDSU up. But, I mean, they were in there on both of them, and they've got their final home match this week against Nevada. It's their senior day. And it's a big one as far as conference standings go.
And they have a really good shot there. Nevada, I think, is second to last.
Nevada's in not
the conference
great.
There. So we play better at home than we do on the road, so it's a good shot.
That's Friday at 3 at the Chuck and Gloria Bell Soccer Fields.
Yeah, and I mean, they're not out of the conference race. I mean,
looking at it, they're fourth. And there's a tournament in soccer, too. So.
Yeah, they're fourth right now. They're 4 points away from first. They're also just 6 points out of, I think, ninth. So I don't know how many teams go to the tournament, but they're in good position now. They win this game, they're almost...
They'll be fine.
But,
yeah. We love to give those smaller sports that don't get a ton of attention, we love to give them some love every week in our podcasts.
And also what I've seen on Instagram, the first 100 fans get a nice mug there.
Ooh,
from
mug.
The soccer game, a Utah State soccer mug. So
I might have to get there early.
Yeah, I might have to do that too.
So I mean, if you're keeping score right now, we got a busy weekend of Aggie sports at home. With Thursday night, we got some volleyball, and then Friday soccer,
and
Friday
Saturday.
Afternoon and Saturday afternoon volleyball,
and then Saturday night.
And Saturday night,
we're
the
gonna
big
have.
One.
I mean, it's the game. You knew we were gonna talk about it. We had to talk about Aggie football. We got the game against Fresno. And this is, frankly, it may be Fresno. They may not be the best opponent, but this is honestly one of the biggest games of the year because this is a must-win.
Yeah, no doubt.
I think it's a good team to have after the bye, you know, because you've been able to rest, get your bad juju out, and then you can come back to a not-so-great team.
It's pretty much a second bye week.
And then hopefully get that win.
Don't speak so soon.
Then hopefully get that win and then get on that track going forward, and you know we're winning again, taking to the next week when we'll need more of that.
Oh yeah, as much as this looks like a easy win, this team this year, I wouldn't have confidence if we played. I don't know, Rice.
I'd have confidence, but it might be misplaced.
I had confidence that we weren't going to blow a 2-touchdown halftime lead against Colorado State too.
Yeah, true that.
Just like we did the week before against Air Force.
I will say this though. I've been kind of thinking a little bit about this. We're 2-4. Does this season kind of feel a little bit like a couple of years ago when we were 2-5 going into that Hawaii game?
No.
Like we were really disappointed with a lot of those games early on. And I'm not saying it's exactly the same, but I kind of get a little bit of that vibe here. I hope I get that vibe because I also want us to go on a 5-game winning streak here to close out the season. But Am I kind of just thinking
to me? Here's where I feel different about this team. That team was, I think that was 2011.
Yeah, I think it was the year before.
It was the year of the resurgence. I mean, it was one of Matt Wells' first years. His first year, I think he won four games.
I think that was Gary Anderson's.
I mean, I'm sorry, that's what I mean.
It was Gary Anderson's third year.
Yeah, I knew it was Gary Anderson.
4-8, and then this year we were 2-5, and it looked like we were going to be another 4-8 season.
Right. Okay. But in Gary Anderson's first year, that's what I meant to say. He won four games.
Yeah.
And then that second year, he started out 2-5?
I think the second year was also 4-8. It was his third year.
And then Chuck the King difference gets hurt in that Hawaii game, and Adam Kennedy comes back. And
the difference is nobody expected anything from that team. That team wasn't supposed to be anything special. I mean, that was a team that we were used to 50 years of, I guess not 50, but a long time of crappy Aggie football. And so nobody expected that team to be bowl eligible. That was like a far-off fantasy. This year's team is just a flat-out disappointment. I don't see them bouncing back and winning five straight.
The way I'm on Daniel's side here is a lot of those games before we were losing, they were one possession, you know, maybe sometimes like a two-possession game. And that's that same year that we, you know, almost we went into Alabama and almost won. Or was that the next
Auburn
year?
It was at Auburn. I'm looking at the schedule from that year. We lost at Auburn, then we beat Weber State, lost to Colorado State in overtime, at BYU by a field goal, destroyed Wyoming by like 45. Then we lost at Fresno and at home to Louisiana Tech. Two close games as well there. And like, I get what you're saying, like that team wasn't exactly hyped as being like 8 or 9 wins as we kind of were.
It wasn't hyped
the season
as being a bowl team. Nobody thought that team was going to a bowl.
There was a little bit of kind of hope. I mean, we had 2 4-8 seasons before that, which were frankly better than what we had before then. So there was a little bit of hope that Gary was going to make a step there. But I mean, granted, it wasn't as high as like this year's hype.
Also, they did show a little bit when they do go into the reigning college national championship and only lose because they couldn't get their hands on a onside kick.
I'm not trying to argue this, but given Auburn was in a down year that year.
Yeah. And I'm saying there are definitely differences. I was kind of bringing that up because I thought it was somewhat analogous. 2-5 that year. We're 2-4 here. I at least hope that we see kind of something like we did that year.
Okay, and I'll add this. That was a team that had a lot of heart. That was a team that played very hard in every game. That's why they went to Auburn and did what they did, where we go to USC in supposedly a down year for USC and get destroyed. You know, of course, there's many differences in Auburn that year and USC this year. There's, you know, you could look at that. But I'm just saying this is a team who the last few games I feel like has flat out given up and stopped playing football. And so that's why I don't see the second half of the season just turning around for them. I think a bowl is beyond anything we could possibly do this year. I don't see it.
I'm not saying I see it. It is a possibility.
Well, I mean, statistically, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we have
maybe
to win
a 5-win bowl. I could maybe
we have
see
to win 4 games. And outside of San Diego State and BYU, there are 4 games which are at least a little bit more winnable than those two. That kind of leads, I guess, though, into what we want to talk about a little bit of what we want to see from this team in this game, I guess. I mean, we've talked about having heart, not playing just to not lose, playing with vigor, like intensity, vigor coming out of the halftime. What's one thing you guys want to see from the team in general this year? Like, is it heart? Do you just want to see this team put up a really good fight, even though we're 2-4? Or do you want to see like something, I guess, more specific or completely different?
I want to see him play 4 quarters instead of only 2.
That would be enormous.
Because it seems like every time they come out of halftime playing not to lose rather than going and playing to win.
Are you talking about for this game or for the rest of the season?
I'd say both. I mean, a couple years ago, that Hawaii game when we were in 2-5, that was that fourth quarter, to be exact, was the start of the rest of the season, I guess. If we have something happen like that, it has to probably start this game. So if we see something this game, we want to see it for the rest of the year. So I'd say both, yeah.
In this game, something I specifically want to see and something that I think could spark us the rest of the season is I want to see the most aggressive play calling we've ever seen from a Utah State team. I don't care if we're up by 30 at halftime. I do not want to see us go out and start doing bubble screens or start, I mean, you know, at times when they shouldn't be, or start doing, just really conservative play calls offensively or defensively. If we can come out and just throw everything we have at them, that is going to give a good spark to the team for the rest of the season. That could spark us to stick in the game with San Diego State and possibly win it. I think this is a team that has the talent to do that. To me, there's no question. This team has the talent. It's just it's the lack of excitement. It's the lack of effort. It's the lack of play calls that allow us to make something of that talent. And so, you know, if we're able to really go out there and just flash and just say, this is what we've got, just put it out on the table. Don't be saving anything for the following week. Don't be saving anything for, later on. Just put it out there. And I would love to see that. I don't care. Seriously, I don't care if we only win five games this year, as long as the rest of the season I see 10 times the effort that we've seen in the second half of the last couple of games. That will get me excited for next season. Nothing else will.
I could probably agree with that. I mean, that covers a lot of the bases we've talked about in past shows here. I mean, first half team, we're one of the best in the conference, I think, to be honest. First half team.
Probably best, one of the best in the country.
Yeah. But second half team, it's just like we come out every single game, it seems like we just had to watch like The Notebook or something during halftime.
Maybe that's
like
what they're doing.
That would explain a whole lot.
Maybe it's the locker room music at halftime. They're listening to like some
Celine Dion,
Titanic, Enya or something.
But yeah, but like I really want to see that this game. I want to see us come out of second half with punch. I don't want to come into the third quarter and, like you're saying, do bubble screens, do a draw, and punt it away on 4th and 7 after that. I want us to take a shot. I want us to take a chance.
And this is something I said on last week's show. I want Matt Wells to coach like he's coaching for a job, because he likely is. I mean, we won't get into that today, but he likely is, and so I would love to see him just go out there and throw the playbook, you know, do what we can, play like I play in Madden.
Run 40 yards back and then throw it?
Not that.
Oh, okay.
A lot of Hail Marys.
Okay, there you go. I get you.
Okay, so looking at the spread of this game, it's a 16-point spread, which was pretty surprising to me. I get Fresno's an awful team. They're 1-5. They haven't done hardly a thing this season. But 16 points seems like a lot for a team like we have right now. What do you guys think? Is that a fair spread?
It's kind of like a Jekyll and Hyde kind of thing, because you could look at it from perspective of Fresno State and be like, Fresno State's pretty bad. They should be 16.5 underdog on the road. But then you look at it, us, you could say, well, they're not exactly playing high-flying football either, so maybe it should be a closer spread. I think when they made it, they're at least looking more on it being a road game, and the Aggies do have a lot of talent still on the roster. I think they look at the first three games of the conference being a little bit more of a blip on the radar instead of just the overall trend of the team. I personally think we'll cover.
Also, coming off the bye, it could add a little bit that we're coming off a bye. They're not.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple scenarios involved here that favor Utah State. Maybe if it's like neutral field and both of us have played last week, it might be closer, like a 10-point or 7-point spread maybe. I think 16.5 is probably a pretty good one.
It's moving down a little bit. Right now it's to a – well, I guess it depends where you look, but it looks like it's getting closer to a 15. But I don't really think that's fair to Fresno, to be honest. I mean, they're not a great team, but they're probably looking at us the same way. They're like, man, this is a team that freaking just blew a couple games that they had in the bag. This is a team that we can easily go up there and be able to stick in or win. Looking at it from a Fresno perspective, I'd feel pretty disrespected. I don't know if I'd take the under. I would never bet on the Aggies. If I ever bet on the Aggies, I'd be starting to lose a lot of money. I think that a more fair spread would be closer to 14, but it's probably not too far off.
I also kind of think with Fresno being on the road, this year they're also just not a terrific road team. I mean, you look at their games at home, they've played decent. I mean, last week they lost 17-3 to San Diego State, which is a respectable scoreline. They played Tulsa to a touchdown, and they beat Sacramento State. All of their road games, though, except for Nevada, which is also pretty terrible, were by at least 20 points. And even then, they weren't playing terrific teams. Like, they lost at Toledo by 35, who's decent, but then they lost at UNLV by 25. So I think on the road, Fresno doesn't play well. At home, we play a little bit better, I think. Then I think we'll cover. I would probably say at least 20 points.
Well, look, I'll say this. Nevada, I mean, Nevada's not great, but they're a 3-3 team, given wins over crappy teams. I don't think they're anything special, but that was a 5-point game on the road. They played San Diego State. That was a 14-point game.
That was at home, though.
It was at home. Yeah, it was I'm not going on. Yeah. You're talking about the road, but that was a 14-point game. If they can play San Diego State within 14, I certainly think that it's possible they could play us within 16. Looking at it from that perspective, but yeah, I'm excited for the game. I'm excited to hopefully see the Aggies get a win. It's been a little while, so we'll see what happens there. Besides just play calling, I mean, is there anything else you guys are looking out for?
I want to see a player step up, to be honest. I want to see a player have a good game. I don't really know I want that to be everybody, but specifically, I'd really want to see a good game from Tarver, a good game from Rashad Lewis on the other side, a good game from just the overall defense throughout the game. And one guy also that we maybe should talk a second a bit about isn't Devontae Mays. Isn't this like one of the games he was supposed to kind of at least targeted to start coming back?
I haven't seen anything implying that he'll be there for this game. And I actually did hear an interview with Matt Wells that was, I think it was either yesterday or today, where he was asked about Devontae Mays and about Dallin Leavitt, and he just said they'll see time or they'll be back this year.
Yeah,
not that they'll be back this week, but who knows what it means.
Yeah, I just remember seeing when he first got injured that they were kind of saying Fresno State might be when he comes back. Not fully, but maybe for a couple plays to kind of get his legs under him. That'd be nice to see as well.
Yep.
But so, as in medical, you don't always hit your target. Sometimes before, sometimes it's after. He's never
Yeah. So we'll see in warm-ups.
Yeah, I mean, another thing that we got coming up, probably something that's drumming up a lot more excitement than a 1-5 team playing a 1-4 team, is basketball season.
November 4th. Southern Virginia. I'm ready for that game.
So, I mean, we were all at Primetime Madness. And you know, it's a scrimmage. It's a scrimmage against their own team. Before the scrimmage, they were actually joking around. Coach Duryea was over talking to us and said he thought it would be funny if they switched coaches on the teams and had Coach Duryea coach the women's team and the women's coach the men's team. So, I mean, again, you know, something like that you can't try and take too serious of takeaways from.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what do you guys take from it? Did you see anything you really liked? Anything that was big for you?
Yeah, when the number 4 or 5 person beats the number 2 out there at the three-point shot contest.
Yeah, that was the one thing I was excited about. Ingor Barnaba.
I didn't know he was a
shooter. Only was like selected to be in the 3-point contest, but actually won it too.
Yeah.
And beat who was the other guy? Shane Rector?
Who was he going up against? It was Perry, wasn't it?
I think it was Perry.
It was Perry. I did not know that about Barnaba. I thought he was gonna be like just more of a low post kind of guy. But he had a nice looking shot and actually attempted a couple threes in the game as well. That makes me really excited.
Oh, that made me. Well, and just looking at him, like, and I said this to you before the game, just looking at him, I was like, who is that guy? Like, that dude looks like an NBA player. I'm not saying he played like an NBA player, that he has a shot at going to the NBA. I'm just saying he looks like an NBA player. He is built. He's big. He's strong. He can shoot. I'm excited about him.
The thing is, when you look at it, a lot of the international, you know, non-United States players, big men, can usually shoot a three. Can usually shoot out there because that's the way they play international.
Where's Gore from?
I think it's Sudan.
Is he Sudanese? Interesting.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how they even found him. Seems like a diamond in the rough, though. I'm excited about that. Something I saw
maybe
that
some JUCO, so they found him from JUCO.
He's from some JUCO. I think he's like a sophomore this year, I think, in that. So we'll have them at least for a couple years. But it really kind of opened my eyes. Like, this, the one thing I was looking at coming into this was kind of the lineups that we were going to be getting from it. Like, especially with only having four returning players and one of those players being Quinn. We didn't know a whole lot about a lot of these players. I want to see what their strengths are, what kind of player they are, so that we can see how is this team going to really be constructed. And I was stoked because of all that stuff that was happening.
Well, you know, something that excited me, and I think that this is partially by design, but something that excited me is the four players that we have returning in Shane Rector, Julian Perry, Jalen Moore, and Quinn Taylor. Those four weren't the players that, like, really stood out to me. I mean,
Kobe.
And again, I think that's partially by design, but Jalen Moore was pretty quiet. Julian Perry didn't do a ton. Shane Rector looked great, I thought.
Yeah.
He was out there balling. He seems to have cleaned up his dribble a little bit. And
he looked a lot more like a passer, though, in this thing, which really excites me, especially with the weapons that we got around him.
But the players that excited me the most were Gore Barnaba, Cody McEwen. I thought Clay Stahl looked really good out there. I wish we could have seen Alexis Dargington out. Yeah. He was over talking to us before the game as well and said that he had tweaked his ankle before, just during shoot around, and it wasn't anything serious, but just kind of precautionarily sitting out. But I liked a lot of the younger guys.
They look great. And one thing, I kind of want to run this thing by you guys, see what you think of it. We've talked a little bit about, like, Shane Rector and Julian Perry kind of being the fifth and sixth man on the court, kind of being interchangeable a bit. What do you guys think about a lineup where we kind of went small, had both of those guys on the court with Kobe, Jalen at the four, and then put Gore Barnaba at the five? Had five guys that are all...
He's 6'8", right?
He's 6'9", I think. But he's also got decent hops. He might be able to protect the rim. I'm not really sure. We'll have to see. But offensively, how much fun, first of all, would that be to watch? But how good could it be when you have five shooters that are all pretty good at shooting the three, and you at least have four guys that are really good at putting the ball on the floor?
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
That'd be worth a shot. Yeah, but we never know until we try it.
I trust Coach Duryea. I think he's going to mix up the lineups a lot and see what works. So I'm excited to watch it.
Like, if Barnaba can hold his own down low and defend the post and provide some rim protection, I'd want to see that lineup so freaking bad. I think it'd be fun. I think it'd have a really good chance of... I mean, it wouldn't be the Warriors' small ball death lineup, but, I mean, it'd be a poor man's version of it in the college game, at least.
No doubt. So we were talking about this a little bit earlier. The Aggies were picked to finish sixth in the conference by the coaches. You feel like that's a little too low, a little too high? What do you think about that?
It's too low.
Too low?
Well, only having four people return, you know, I'm about right there because no one really saw how the others play, and it, you've got to get that chemistry in there too, you know, and take it how probably one of those four that are returning is going to have a reduced role than he had last year. Speaking of Quinn, you probably know that. And so pretty much only three people that are really going to be in it have some, that will return with a really big amount of time. I can kind of see that sixth place. You know, maybe even that might be a little high, in my opinion.
At the same time, this is the coaches that were voting in this, and the coaches know who recruited well. And plus, at the same time, in their votes, they made Kobe McEwen the co-freshman of the year. They put Jalen Moore in the first team all-conference. And, I mean, they already know about Shane Rector and Julian Perry, and they know we got a couple of JUCO guys as well that are going to kind of be plug-and-play a bit.
I don't know. I think the media knows more than the coaches. I don't think that, like, you know, do you think that, a coach from UNLV or coach from Nevada or something is like, oh, man, Utah State just picked up a nice JUCO guy. I know a lot about Snow College's basketball team.
They're not following it like that, but, I mean, they do keep track of some of that stuff. I mean, it is their job to scout out those teams. So
once they're actually playing them, I mean,
they're not
scouting us out preseason.
They are a little bit. I mean, you only have like a game before or a day before you play some people sometimes in the season. So they're gathering some stuff here. And plus, a lot of those players that we picked up, other people recruiting as well.
To be honest, my initial reaction was like, you know, maybe that's a little low, but that's because my expectations for the team are top four. That's my expectations. But then I think about it, the way that Trevor was just saying, we got four returning guys from last year's team, and to be honest, to be picked sixth with that is kind of being respected by the coaches, in my opinion.
You can always sit, you know, okay, well, we got, they saw how they were. They're really good guys. But, you know, look how when King James went down to Miami, were they really the best team? Even with Bosch and Wade and, you know, with all those three at the same time? Because, you know, one, they had to gel right away. They had to gel first. And even like the first year with Love up in Cleveland with LeBron, that wasn't the best year either for him, because they had to kind of learn how to play together and merge to see how they play before they even did anything.
I get what you're saying with that. I'm not meaning the team's going to be like the best in the conference. But I think, one, the coaches know, I think, and you can kind of see with their votes, that they think the team's going to be pretty good. I mean, Jalen Moore being first team all conference, Kobe being co-freshman of the year, it doesn't really match up. And when I look at where they had the other standings, do I think right now when you look at the team, we're better than Boise State, who's fifth, or Nevada or New Mexico? I would think that we are, to be honest. That's my kind of thinking with it. I look at the teams above us. They're not – I would say there's a better talent on our team, and it just doesn't match up with some of the other votes. But
look, like, I mean, I'm not, like, trying to down-hype the team. I'm the conductor of the Utah State basketball hype train right now. But you're talking about a team that went 7-11 in the Mountain West last year and has four returning starters. To be picked sixth in the conference, I can't argue that. I think that they'll do better, but
– at the same time, we were picked – pretty low last year, and we exceeded expectations.
We won seven conference games. That's,
yeah, but like from what they said in preseason, we exceeded that.
It was close. I mean, we're going to talk a lot more basketball as the season gets a little bit closer. NBA is only a week away, but college has still got what we got till the beginning of November till we can really dive in and start picking apart matchups and whatnot and see what the team's actually doing. But, you know, like we said, in the meantime, all kinds of good USC athletics going on. We had a rough weekend last week as far as most Utah State teams saw losses. But overall, a lot of them are doing real well. And we got another lot of home games this weekend that and we've talked about that already.
Yeah, we talked about the volleyball team. They're going to be back at it again, like we said, San Diego State on Thursday. And then
that's at 7.
Yeah, 7 o'clock on Thursday. Come, that's going to be another big game. Then Saturday at 1 as well. So you want an appetizer before the football game, come to 1 o'clock at the Wayne Estes Center. And volleyball is going to be playing Nevada there.
And then along with that, like we said, women's soccer got their senior day on Friday. That's at 3 o'clock. And along with that, if you still got time, you still got a hankering for some USU athletics, the softball team is going to be having their Halloween game. I don't know what that is, but it sounds like fun.
I guess they like just get in some costumes and play softball.
They play in the costumes.
So. Are they college costumes? Because I'm not sure you can really play in like a slutty pirate costume.
I don't think the softball team is going to be dressing up as slutty pirates.
I hope not. No offense to the softball team, but I'm not for those costumes really. In general.
Anyway, I mean,
it should be fun though.
Softball on a Saturday afternoon, nothing wrong with that. So, I mean, if you can get out and support, that's great. If not, everything's streamed on the Mountain West Network. And so you can catch those as well. And you might even be able to hear Trevor's beautiful voice
on the Mountain West Network.
Anyway, that's our show for today. We're also going to be having this week, we're going to be having a football podcast, as always, where we talk about NFL and college football. We're also going to be having a miscellaneous sports podcast where we're going to go over the baseball playoffs and what's going on there leading up to the World Series. And we're going to talk some soccer, where we got Real Salt Lake right now trying to clinch their spot in the playoffs. So
also be talking about our weekly debate, your case, where we're just going to go two of us are going to go at each other's throats. So tune in for that.
Again, thanks for listening today. And you can find us on Twitter at 119 Sports. We'll always be posting our podcast there along with any other juicy tidbits of Twitter information that we find.
And also random pictures of Derek.
Thanks for tuning in today. Bye.